Thank you, Judge Conklin.
Yes.
Ms. Fleming.
I'm here.
Judge Fannin. Judge Gabe.
Here.
Judge Kelly.
Here.
Judge Larsh.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Ryan. Judge Sachs. Judge Siebert. Judge Thompson will be absent. Judge Zahner, absent as well. Ms. Bartleson. Mr. Finke.
Here, sorry. Struggling to unmute. I'm here.
I need to get a yes here. Okay, thank you. Mr. Harrigan. Mr. Kim.
I'm here.
Thank you. Mr. Landry.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Levere.
Here.
Mr. Riley. Going to be absent today. Mr. Rule.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Taniguchi. Okay, thank you. Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Thank you, Brian. Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm here via telephone.
Thank you, David. Advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw.
Yes, here.
Ms. Mueller.
Here.
And our liaison member, Judge Callum Carrion.
Here.
Thank you.
Brandy, this is Neil Taniguchi. I'm a little late.
Oh, thank you, Neil. That's great. I was just counting our absences. Welcome.
So has anybody joined in who did not participate in the roll call? Okay, so we have a quorum, don't we, Brandy?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we have a quorum. We can conduct business. I'm sure folks, I'm hopeful folks will join us. So Rebecca and I both welcome you all to our meeting. Thank you very much. I know it's a late afternoon meeting, a little unusual for us. It's slated for 4 to 5:30. I'm more than optimistic we'll be done well before 5:30, if not well before 5. But I don't want to prevent any comments or discussion by making that comment, just trying to frame the day. With that, you all know the rules. Please mute yourselves if you're not talking. If you are talking, please go ahead and identify yourself. Our first order of business is to approve the minutes from the August 18th meeting that are in your materials. Do I have a motion to approve?
Judge Kelly moves to approve.
Great. Second. Moved and seconded that the minutes from the August 18th meeting be approved. Now that it's a pending motion, is there any opposition? Hearing no opposition, I deem that the minutes are unanimously approved. Any abstentions? Hearing none, excellent. We'll move to our first item of business, which is our first, it's an action item. It's our
Do you mind if I back you up just a bit to public comment, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not think we had it, did we?
We did not, but I just want to make sure it's clear for the record. We did not receive any public comment.
Thank you. We do need to make sure that's clear now that we're an open and public meeting, that there were no public comments received. So our public comment period is closed. Now moving to action item one and only, discussing the trial court executive summary display. You're all, I think, familiar with these summaries. They're a very useful tool for each court. And so they're prepared by staff. There's 58 separate summaries that will go out to the courts. We modify these and improve them year by year. And we're doing that again this year. At the July 18th meeting, the committee voted to reconvene now in September to consider these new executive displays and the formats of these displays. And the always efficient and effective Oksana Tuck is here to present. And Oksana, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon. This is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the committee in its discussion of the finalization of 2022-23 updates needed for the initial single court executive summary display of trial court allocations, including the workload formula and other allocation highlights. The information is updated each fiscal year based on funding changes included in the final budget And also the Judicial Council approved allocations, with the final report provided at the end of the fiscal year to capture updates such as current year cost-benefit changes. At its July 18, 2022 meeting, TIGBEC reviewed a single court executive summary from the 2021-22 and directed Judicial Council Budget Services staff to return to the committee in September with an updated 22-23 trial court executive summary display that maintains the current format but includes updated allocation information for consideration. The new allocations added for 2022-23 display include the share of the $84.2 million for the consumer price index adjustment, the share of $100 million of equity funding, share of $31.2 million new judgeship funding, share of $110 million civil assessment revenue backfill funding, and the $30 million in additional court-appointed dependency council funding. For illustrative purposes, the proposed example of 2022-23 executive summary is provided in attachment 1A on page 6 of the meeting materials and is recommended for the TIGBEC approval. Once approved, the summary display document will be shared with the Judicial Branch Budget Committee as an informational item and then will be distributed to all 58 trial courts no later than October 2022. That concludes our presentation, and we will be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Oksana, thanks so much. So folks, you do have attached to your materials the one sample. I think this is from Alameda. It's only meant as a sample. Most folks on the committee are familiar with these. If any of you knew or not, they're just a very effective tool that each court has to provide what we describe as a snapshot of your budget to those who might be inquiring, especially partners who might be interested in how our branch is financed and the individual courts are financed. It's an action item, so we'll move for approval of the format. But before that, any questions of Oksana or general comments?
Judge Conklin, this is Chris Rule. I just have a couple of questions if I could.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't know whether this is more appropriately directed to Oksana or to John, who I know is also on the meeting. And so I think, Judge Conklin, you probably addressed this, but I was wondering, as I looked at the summary, the sample, number one, who is there a primary intended audience for this document? And is its primary intended purpose to mainly inform, to persuade? Are these, you know, we used to have the old budget snapshot documents, and is this intended as kind of an update or replacement of that old budget snapshot format? So those are my questions at this point.
Great questions. I think John and Oksana are both good on that, but maybe John will turn to you first as far as a tool to use this within or outside the branch.
Sure thing. Thank you, Judge, and thank you, Chris. Really, the intended audience is more as courts are visiting their local legislative leaders on issues that are relevant to that particular court. This is a good snapshot, if you will, as members are asking about what's the budget looking like. So that's primarily where I think courts benefit from this. To the extent that we at the state level get questions from folks, we package these documents up for a more comprehensive view that's also helpful in our conversations on statewide advocacy.
Okay, and thank you. That was my general impression. So looking at that, I was sort of looking at from the standpoint of, you know, user friendliness, and so, for example, workload formula, you know, if there are legislators who may not be familiar with the workload formula, would we want to sort of define, you know, what that is, you know, in sort of layperson's terms or in easily understandable terms, And I know we're trying to keep it to one page, which makes it a challenge to try and do that, because I know, and at the bottom, of course, it's really helpful to define what all the acronyms are. That's really good. So that was just my only thought, looking at it from that standpoint and making sure that it's as useful as possible for the intended audience and the intended purpose.
Yep, thanks. And I should have also brought Brandy in on this, because Brandy, you're kind of in on this from the ground level. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, or Fran, but Chris, you're right. We've made every effort to keep this to a one-page document that is a high flyover of courts budgets. But I don't
know. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Yeah. Chris, I think that's a really good suggestion. You're correct. Not everyone might not know the history of workload formula. I think there's an opportunity for us to incorporate just a very high level kind of definition of what that represents. It's essentially the approved judicial counting, a judicial council funding methodology for the trial court. So that could actually be incorporated as an additional footnote, and definitely appreciate your input on that.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think that might help. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Sachs, I see you're on the call as well, and so we're going to acknowledge your presence. Thank you very much. Thanks, Brandy, for pointing that out. And just a couple other things, Chris, and I don't want to go too far on this, but these I found over the years, these are extremely useful, even within your court. So, you know, many of the CEOs, you don't have PJs that are on our committee, and they come and go. They might not be particularly familiar, and this is a real good way to help them appreciate the numbers that flow through. But again, that's just my perspective. So anything else you want to add, Oksana or John or Brandy or Fran, or I don't know, Zlock goes with us, any of the pros and over?
I'll just point out something quickly, just technical for Chris and the group. When we changed the layout of the workload formula and the information we provide to trial courts for their allocations, it's a very big and complex document. And we also call it kind of, we refer to it as the version that kind of CFOs would look at. We also have a simplified display that's also used by courts. And what we thought would be nice is to have a roll-up executive type summary. We've talked previously about it could be on the binder of a presiding judge or CEO, something to reference quickly to understand how their court is funded at a higher level, as well as how that looks compared to the court perspective. So that's just my bit. Thank you.
And I really do appreciate the effort that's put into it. I know we've made really good use of the budget snapshots in the past, and so I look forward to using this document in a similar fashion. So thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Any other questions or concerns for Oksana or any other folks? And if not, I'd invite a motion to approve the format as suggested in Attachment 1A.
Judge Sachs will move as suggested.
Is there a second?
Judge Kelly seconds.
Moved and seconded that the format for the allocation summaries be approved. Now that's a moved and seconded motion, any additional discussion or comments? Hearing none, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the allocation summaries attached? Hearing none, I'm going to deem the recommendation unanimously approved to forward on. Brandy, does it go here right to the council, or does it go through JBBC first?
So actually not neither for approval purposes. So now that TICFAC has approved it, what we'll do is go ahead and populate the 58 templates and get those out no later than October. We do share it with JBBC as an informational item so they can get a sense as to the updates that were made from the prior year. But this item does not go to council.
Okay, so each court should hope or expect to have this by within about a month.
Absolutely, at the latest, yes. Great. Well, no, let me pause. About 4 to 6 weeks.
Good. Yep. A little leeway. Okay.
A little bit. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So now we're going to move on to our remaining item on the agenda, which is an informational item discussing trial court operational and budgetary metrics. Pardon me. It's been a long day. And this does get down a little bit of detail. But we have with us Leah Rose Goodwin, and I think many of you are familiar with her, and she's about the best that comes to us. She used to be part of Budget Services. Now she's with, and I don't want to mess up her title, but she's with Business Management Services, but is always a delight to have an effective presentation on these metrics issues. I think I've said a lot about that. So what we're going to discuss here is the operational and budgetary metrics included in SB 154, which requires the judicial branch to update the legislature on our metrics annually. And rather than confuse things, I think you're with us, right, Leah?
I am, Judge. Yes.
Great. It's yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice introduction. And yes, this is an informational update only on some progress in this area. And I thought it might be easier if I can share my screen for a moment. And I put the text of the legislation on a slide just for ease of reading. So I'll put that up now. Okay, so as Judge Conklin described, there is a new piece of legislation, Senate Bill 154, that requires the Judicial Council to report annually to the legislature. The full text of the bill, the segment about the annual reporting is written here, but essentially the metrics can be divided in threes. They are, programmatic metrics, including time to disposition by case type, case clearance rate, and backlogs by case type. There are operational metrics, including court hours of operations and staff vacancy rates. And finally, and probably most relevant to this group, are financial metrics, which include fund balance detail and the calculated funding level of each court based on the workload formula. To pause for just a moment here and maybe to work backwards, the financial metrics are maybe the most straightforward of all the operational metrics. These are publicly reported data elements. They are metrics that you may be familiar with. They are the ones that, you know, on the basis of which we make, the branch makes budget allocations. The operational and programmatic metrics are not as clearly defined. And so there have been, there's a small group of CEOs who have been working to try to take that language and formulate it into metrics that could be reported. The work of this group stems from the pandemic. So this group was put together early in the pandemic to be able to report to the legislature on operational practices and impacts related to the pandemic. In part, the data reporting that the branch was able to do helped secure about $110 million in backlog funding to address backlog. And so this is an evolution of that, of both that group's role and also the reporting that's being requested. In putting together some proposed measures, the group has stated many times that this must be something easy to measure, and really, when possible, we'll rely on data that are already reported in other reports, or for example, in our court statistics report. The metrics that should be developed should be items that are in a court's control, so not contingent on outside entities. They should focus on issues that increase public access to justice, and they should be evergreen, and that they should not focus in on pandemic-related issues. So there's a short lead time to the first report. The first report is due February 1, 2023. And in our process to get mandated studies completed, that often means that the start time and really the time to wrap up the report come several weeks, and if not months, prior to February 1. So there may have to be a different approach taken in year one, where the branch reports on metrics that are already reported publicly. It would also give us a chance to let the new Data Analytics Advisory Committee weigh in on these metrics, their charge in part is to develop standards and measures of performance. So at this point, the group will continue to meet and refine the metrics that that still need to be developed, the operational and programmatic metrics. And I imagine that this group will be hearing more about those metrics and this first report as we get into the winter months. But the objective here with Judge Conklin wanted to make sure that the group was aware of the work that's being done. Just know that there is a lot of progress, a lot of discussion in this area, and I will be happy to answer any additional questions that there may be.
Excellent summary. Questions, folks? All right. Doesn't appear to be any, which is probably reflective of how thorough the presentation was. It's an update. This has to go forward by February, so we'll probably have another update before then.
I imagine so. I think there's a take-back meeting later this fall, and so yep. I would be happy to continue to make that report, Judge.
Great. Much appreciated. Okay, that is the informational item, the only other item we had on our agenda for today. The next TICFAC meeting is November 10th, which hopefully by then we're through the worst of this heat and maybe even trying to feel the effects of fall. But before that, any other items any folks are concerned about? We're well ahead of schedule, not to prompt discussion we don't need, but if anybody has any general concerns, now's the time to talk. Great. Okay. Well, it's very good to see everybody. There's the weekend ahead holds some interesting potentials for sweep, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but I won't go any further than that except to say go Dodgers, and I don't want to curse it. But with that, it's good to see everybody. Thank you so much. Stay cool if you can. Any concerns, by the way, between now and then, Rebecca and I are a phone call away. Just as a note, Rebecca a lot of times calls me and says, I'm getting a lot of calls. And that's because she's the brains behind the business, but don't hesitate to call me either. I'll just say call Rebecca, but if you have any concerns, I'm a phone call or an email.
All right.
With that, I appreciate everybody's presence. Have a great afternoon, and we will be in touch.
All right.
Thanks, all.
Take care, everybody.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Take care.